You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, join the official fan club of the Cleveland Browns, the Browns backers. Join now and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Browns backer watch parties. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Again, fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs with you here, and some guys checking in with us on Twitter talking about, you know, what's going on in these events, the bench press for wide receiver, et cetera, or the 40. A lot of times they're looking, that's why you get the first 10-yard split, especially for a lineman. They don't care about the 40. They care about the first 10 yards. How do you look in the first 10 yards? Your short area quickness, for example, a guy like Max Williams at tight end, didn't do so well in his straight-ahead 40, but did a very good job on his in-and-out movements and his short area quickness. That's how you get separation, and that's how you get open. So that's what they're looking for, and that's what they're looking at in a lot of these drills.
I get it, and
it's just a part of the puzzle.
It is. I just wonder how big a piece of the puzzle. That's all. I mean, that's all. I mean, I see the guys. I watch it like everybody else. I mean, the numbers are through the roof, I've heard. I don't have exact numbers in front of me on the ratings, but I guess the ratings over the weekend, especially when the quarterbacks threw on Saturday, through the roof. Like, bigger than, like, college basketball. College basketball right now in its prime, in season right now, NBA, everything got blown out of the water by the combine. So Xavier Galindez tweets at the show at Browns_daily. Cody Fajardo looked to be the best QB of the first set to throw. What do you think? Also thought Brandon Binge could sling it too.
He could sling it. Binge could sling it. His footwork was terrible and certainly an absolute project. Cody Fajardo out of Nevada. I think that he's a guy that I think you're looking at and you're saying, okay, this guy could be a backup. But when I'm looking at somebody who could maybe be a starter, to me, it really is Brett Hundley was the one that stood out because he's got all the tools. I thought he threw the ball pretty well. Fedora out of Nevada, 6'1", 223. They think, you know, like seventh round pick. Ben Bridge was a guy out of South Alabama. Really, it's just a bad quarterback class. I mean, I think that's just the bottom line. Fedora does not have a great arm, doesn't have a lot of touch, inconsistent motion throwing the football. I didn't think his footwork was that great. His mechanics, you know, he doesn't set. He doesn't play really from that pro style set there. He's not used to that. I think he's okay, but I don't think he is a great quarterback.
All right, so that transitions into one of our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day, the Sam Bradford deals. Supposedly over the weekend, the Rams say, well, he's untouchable and he's going to be our starting quarterback. But then, you know, you're hearing reports throughout the day and throughout yesterday where, well, they'd be willing to listen. And if you're the Browns, you know that it is a terrible rookie quarterback class.
Yeah.
I'll throw it out there right now. It's a terrible rookie quarterback class. Minus the top two, and even I would only say one of those two could start right away. I said that last week. You know what? Every other guy's going to be a project. So who are you going to go out and get? Because right now you've got Johnny Manziel and you've got Connor Shaw. Would you just want to give Manziel the chance to show what he can do, or do you want to go get a guy like Bradford that could start right away and make a big impact potentially on your football team?
I think right now you just don't know what you have in Johnny Manziel. And as Pete Prisco said, Pete Prisco, we'll hear from him later on, from CBS, wrote an article, and I've tweeted it out, basically saying he expects Johnny to start next year and be the guy, and that he's going to come back in this rehab. He's going to put all the Johnny party boy behind him and just be back to being Johnny football, or back to being Johnny Manziel, really. I think that if you have an opportunity to get Sam Bradford and it all works out economically in terms of the price and a trade, et cetera, or if he's released and you get to negotiate a new deal with him, I'd like to kick the tires on him. I think he's played well when given opportunities before he gets hurt. The issue with him is his inability to stay healthy. That has been really the toughest part, you know, for him. Sam Bradford has just not been able to stay healthy.
How much of that's his offensive line?
Well, now it's kind of a freak thing. I mean, you saw how he got hurt. He got hurt against us. Armani Bryant kind of leaned on him. That was certainly not anything that, you know, you would have thought would have been a huge deal. But listen, this is a guy, Sam Bradford, who in his last year starting, 2013, 61% completions, 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. From 2012 to 2013, he threw 35 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, completed about 60% of his passes, just over 6.5 yards an attempt. So he is solid, and he's got 6'4", 236. He's got the size, former number one overall pick. He's got everything you're looking for. It's just a matter with Sam Bradford is can he stay healthy. I think of the guys that are out there, he certainly is the best option if he really is there's an opportunity to get him. But you don't want to bring him in here and pay him $15 million and not have any clue if he's going to be with you in another year. You know, he's a free agent at the end of the season. So I think there are a lot of things that would have to fall into line before you see Sam Bradford. I think the Browns would probably be more inclined. You know, I think that it makes a lot of sense because he could be your franchise quarterback. But if it doesn't make sense in terms of the financial ramifications, et cetera, I wouldn't be surprised the Browns bring in somebody that is a veteran who could be here for a year or two while they figure out what they've got in Johnny and probably add another guy, maybe a Brett Hundley, during the draft.
I would be in. I like Bradford. I like Bradford a lot. I don't like Bradford's price tag. And I guess that's the question.
Right,
how much of that salary is St. Louis willing to absorb when they make the deal? And how much do you have to give up to get Sam Bradford? And, I mean, that's – you said – what's he, under contract for one more year? Is that right?
Uh-huh.
So what do you do a year from now? What happens if he goes on as a Pro Bowl a year?
I don't think you acquire Sam Bradford unless you've already put in place something that keeps him here longer than a year. You don't give up something for a one-year rental on Sam Bradford with no guarantee of future keeping him in the future at all. I don't see that happening. So I think if he comes, you're going to figure something out where you've got Sam Bradford under contract for a few more years.
And I would agree with
that. That's why I'd much rather go for a guy like Glennon. No price tag, no et cetera. You have him. He's a young guy. He's got the size, et cetera. But – Bradford, if you're gonna go get Bradford, you do it with the thought that you're gonna have him under contract for more than 1 year. You kind of put some type of deal in place for him that is longer than one season. And can he stay healthy? I don't know, but he gives you another guy who could certainly be a franchise quarterback. I mean, this is his fifth season in the NFL. He was born in 87. This is not an old guy. It's a guy just should be just entering his prime and should be able to have 8 to 10 good years ahead of him if he can stay healthy and play at the level you'd expect him to play.
Yeah, Cleveland Sports Maniac tweets at us at Browns_Daily. I think Johnny will end up being good, but of the vets, I'd go for Glennon rather than Bradford. And, I mean, that's –
price point. Hey, listen, it's about the price point. It's about not only the price point in terms of what you're paying him this season, what it would cost to get him, I think would be significantly different for Glennon versus Bradford. It's not nearly as big of an investment.
Well, and not only that, but I think a lot of us don't realize, last year the Browns didn't have a lot of free agents to deal with. And this year, this might be one of the bigger free agent seasons that this team has had in quite some time. A lot of free agent decisions. Who do you bring back? I mean, if you don't bring back a lot of these guys, you have a lot of holes that you need to fill in the offseason. And it starts in free agency when you've got as much cap room as you have. I think the Browns have a lot of decisions here. The capologists that are working there around the clock and – you know, the Ray Farmer and his staff, I mean, it is not an easy offseason here for the Cleveland Browns, made more difficult by all the stories that we've had the first 2 months.
I think it will be easy, actually. I think that's
really?
I think they're in a good spot with these guys. I think they're going to be in a good spot.
But if you don't bring any of those guys back, you know, like, I don't know this any more than anybody else, but I can't imagine they're going to bring Ataba Rubin back. I like Ataba. They're probably not going to bring him back.
And they paid him $8 million last year and got very little in terms of production.
Exactly.
You wouldn't want to bring him back.
No, but like a Jordan Cameron, it doesn't look promising from all the reports out there that he's going to come back. You know, you still – and I get that you've got two tight ends in Barnage and Dre, but you got to get someone that can make some plays on that side of the football.
There are guys out there, though, in free agency that you could look at, and there are certainly guys that you could draft as well.
But, I mean, now you got to hope that you can sell those guys on this team and this franchise, despite everything that national people are saying about this franchise. And I think they have a very tough offseason here.
I think they're in a good spot. I actually think they're in a good spot. You're going to be able to bring in a lot of guys via this draft. I think you're going to be in a better spot than you might think for this to enter into this free agency.
How many of these draft picks do you think they end up trading away?
I think they're going to use a lot of them this year. I mean, last year they had 10, they ended up with 6. I think that you're going to be in pretty good shape this year. I don't think you're going to be in bad shape. I think you got to, obviously, you know, quarterback still looms out there. If you don't bring back, even if you didn't bring back any of these free agents, I don't think things are as bad as you might think. Where would the holes really be? You'd still on the defensive line come back with Phil Taylor, Billy Winn, Ishmael Kitchen, Desmond Bryant, Armani Bryant. You know, we all know they're going to draft somebody early at that position.
Are you going to pay Phil Taylor?
You've got him under contract for one more year, so he's got an opportunity to prove to you whether or not he should be. Your linebacking core would still be Dansby, Kirksey, Robertson, Kruger, and Mingo. Your cornerbacks would still be Hayden, you know, Gilbert or Dazier, Kaywan Williams, Whitner, and Gipp. So you're still in pretty good shape there. Where you'd be hurting is at tight end, and that's where that would be a void that has to be filled. And then obviously you need to fill a void at wide receiver. I don't think there's any question about that, but that has nothing to do with free agency.
And we'll get to the combine stuff in Gilbert. We'll get to that after Petten, but I want to debate you on that secondary because I think it's a bigger need than people think.
So we can talk about that, I'm curious to see if people do think that it's a big need. So let's say that Buster Skrine does not come back. Your secondary right now consists of your corners, Joe Hayden at one corner, solid stud. Your safeties are solid, Whitner and Gibson, you know, Pro Bowler. I think your slot corner is in good shape with Kaywan Williams and Robert Nilsson backing him up. And then your other corner opposite Hayden, you've got Justin Gilbert and Pierre Desir. I thought Pierre Desir looked great against Carolina. I think between the two of them, you're going to get a guy who can start there. You're good at your nickel. I feel like you've got pretty good depth. I think you're in pretty good spot to not have to spend a lot of money. Do you draft somebody else? Sure, but I don't know that if Buster Skrine played well enough and deserves to come back here at the right price. On the open market, given what a premium there are in corners, he might get a lot more money than he might be worth for this team. Because if Justin Gilbert becomes the guy that you drafted him to be, or Desir does, if one of those two becomes that solid number two corner with size, which the Browns don't have, Buster becomes your nickel corner anyway. And if Buster's your nickel corner, you'd be paying your nickel a lot of money when you have Kaywan Williams, who played very well as an undrafted free agent for the next 3 years at a very cheap price. And I know the staff is very high on Robert Nilsson, who can also play that nickel.
Now I'm going to pick your theories apart, because you don't know what you have in Gilbert yet. You think you do. You've seen flashes. And you've seen flashes with Desir. Is he ready? Is he not ready? Did he have success because there was no tape on him? And as a rookie, until someone has tape on you, do they really have anything? Kaywan Williams, can he stay healthy? He's another guy that really seemed to have trouble staying on the field. Made plays when he was on the field, but spent a lot of time off the field, hurt. Really don't know what you have in Robert Nilsson. And is Dante Whitner, how long can you go with Whitner? How long is Whitner going to be able to continue to play at the level he's playing at?
That has nothing to do with Buster Skrine, though. I mean, Dante Whitner can. But
then throw in Buster Skrine's free agency coming up here, and what are you going to do? I think secondary might be a bigger need than people think.
I think the person that you for sure need to lock up there is Tashawn Gibson. Lock him up. You got him at free safety. That's why I think in the draft, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns, you know, in the middle rounds or maybe in free agency, bring in another safety. Don't forget, Jordan Poyer is back there at safety for you. I happen to be a Jordan Poyer fan. More of a free safety than a strong safety, but you could see the Browns look to draft a developmental strong safety to learn behind Dante Whitner this year. Again, I wouldn't be surprised about that at all.
I think you need to.
So there you go. All right.
I think it's a point of emphasis and a position and an area of need on this football team. Maybe not as big a need as D-line, as O-line or wide receiver, playmakers, things like that, but it is a need on this football team.
It is definitely a need on this football team, and I think they are going to go after that. All right, when we come back, Mike Petten, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, I sat down with him at the NFL Combine. Hear that interview when we return on ESPN 850 WKNR.
But baby, I've been praying hard. Said no more counting dollars, we'll be counting stars.